because of the peace and security and tranquility that Yaakov enjoyed in Mitzrayim. Isn't that strange? So the Sifse Chachomim, the long Sifse Chachomim, I think he mentions it in the name of Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. So he says, that's the reason as to why Rashi didn't mention the third pshat. Because the third pshat appears to negate the content of the first pshat. But the Medrash says it. So we have to understand the three different explanations given by the Medrash as to why the Sedra of Vayechi is a stum. Is totally stum. I think that these three explanations given by the Medrash Rabbah can shed light upon the attitude that the Jew is to adopt towards disaster and towards the Holocaust. What is the Holocaust? The term Holocaust is derived from Greek. Holos means whole. The English word whole, complete, is derived from holos in Greek. And then kostos means burning. A total burning, a total slave. So in other words, the term Holocaust is applied towards a phenomenon that involves total destruction of a people. That's why the term Holocaust is used in respect to the tragedy that overtook the Jewish people at the end of the 30s and at the beginning of the 40s. Now, the first explanation that is given by the Medrash Rabbah, Lomo Parshezu Stumo, Lifi Shekivim Shenifta Yaakov Ovinu, Nistimu Ineyem Vilibom Shel Yisrael Mitzoras Hashibut, Sheyisrilu Lishapu. So the Medrash uses two expressions, Nistimu Ineyem and Nistimu Libom. Obviously, there is a difference between Stimas Oinayim and Stimas Alei. What's the significance of these two expressions? Now, the phenomenon of suffering is a phenomenon that has baffled the minds of every human being. Jews, non-Jews, intelligent or not intelligent, saint or villain, every human being is baffled by this phenomenon of suffering. Why is it that Tzadik Virale and Rosh HaRitev, even the biggest villain, doesn't consider himself as a villain? So he also has complaints. He also has complaints. If you talk to a criminal, he has more complaints than a saint. Why? Why does he suffer? Everyone is baffled by this phenomenon. Why is there suffering in the world? Couldn't the Ribbono Shel Olam create man so that men wouldn't have to suffer? But not only simple people are baffled, but even giants and even the Nevi'im were puzzled by this phenomenon of Tzadik Viralei and Rosh HaRitev. And the Gemara in Maseches Broches tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harino Eskudecho, show me thy glory. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in effect, inquired of the Ribbono Shel Olam, why is it that there is a Tzadik Viralei and Rosh HaRitev? And then what was the response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu? A very obscure response. Vayimer ad Hashem, hine moke miti v'nitzavto lai tzur, v'hoyo ba'avir kvedi, v'samticho b'nikras atzur. When God says, when my glory will pass, I'll place you in the cleft of the rock, v'sakrisi chapi olecho adovri, and I'll hover you with my hand until I pass. V'asireises kapi, you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. What does it mean? You'll see my back, and my face shall not be seen. So the Al-Kachimeni, and it's mashma from the Targum Yenisim Nizir, the same thing, that Vasiri, that Voriso Esacherai has reference, and thou shalt see my back, has reference to the events, to the historical episodes, as these are viewed and considered retrospectively after God has passed in the sense of time. So years later, not hundreds of years, but perhaps thousands of years, millennia later, after a certain episode has unfolded itself in this world, then one can detect in the footprints of providence, in the sense of time, the purpose of all the events. Ufonale Yerod, the Alter Shemini says, has reference to a historical episode as it is being unfolded before our eyes. So that was the response by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harinu Eskridecho, why is it that there is so much suffering? Why is it that righteous people suffer so much and wicked people prosper so much? Why is it? Why is it that daily Israel, Tzadikim, Chassidei Eilom, had to be killed in gas chambers? Why is it? There was no answer. And Nevi'im did not get an answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Bechir HaAnushi, so the Rebbeinu Shalom, not that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand the answer. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu could understand the answer. But the Rebbeinu Shalom did not give him the answer. The Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ro'iso es acherai, ufona leiro, the exact meaning of suffering people will be able to comprehend only after providence has already passed through the avenues of time. Then, years later, L'meis HaMashiach, or not L'meis HaMashiach, later than L'meis HaMashiach, in the end of the days, after Trias HaMeisim, then people will be able to understand why is Sadiq Virale Roshvitele. Ufonaliro, right now, we are too close to the cosmic picture to be able to trace its lines. Now, I am not an expert on paintings, but I know that those who are experts on painting, they can only appreciate the painting if they stand at a considerable distance from the painting. But if they stand close to the painting, they cannot appreciate the lines of the painting. So if this is true of a human painting, so we couldn't even mention Kalvachemer b'mneisha Kalvachemer, that this is so many times infinitely more true in respect to the cosmic picture, the historical episodes that are being unfolded in front of our eyes. And how can any human being or any Jew, and I don't care whether he considers himself as a Jewish leader or not, have the audacity to explain the Holocaust? We are standing so close to this cosmic painting. It's only a few decades since the Holocaust. So, we expect to understand the face of providence while providence is passing in front of our eyes. There will be a time when every human being will be able to understand the meaning of the Holocaust. And what is the Holocaust? As it is mentioned in the name of Reb Chaim Eizer, that Reb Chaim Wasserman said to Reb Chaim Eizer when the Second World War broke out, so he said that this tragedy is a greater tragedy than the Chom Abayis. So Reb Chaim Eizer became very irritated, and he said to Reb Chonon, how can you say such a thing? What is this tragedy? It's only an integral part of the Chom Abayis. This tragedy that we are experiencing now with the outbreak of the Second World War is the culmination of the tragedy that took place over 1900 years ago in the Churban HaBayis. So how can you say that one episode of a certain tragedy is greater than the whole tragedy? A part cannot be more than the sum of its parts, than one part, than one fraction. The whole is equal to the sum of its parts, but a fraction of the whole cannot be more than the whole. So we are standing close to the cosmic picture. How can we understand, how can we pretend to understand the meaning of the Holocaust? This is something that will always be concealed from our intellect, and not only from our intellect. There are certain phenomena in the world that cannot be conceived through the intellect. But there is a logic of the heart. As a French philosopher said, Pascal, there is a logic of the heart just as there is a logic of the mind. So certain phenomena in the world, while these cannot be understood and conceived through the intellect, through deductive and inductive reasoning, but they can be conceived through the logic of the heart. But the phenomena of suffering, of tzaddik virale, roshe v'teble, the phenomenon of disaster, of the Holocaust, cannot even be conceived through the heart, through the logic of the heart. Not only it cannot be conceived through the logic of the mind, it cannot even be conceived through the logic of the heart. It is so obscure and so mysterious and so hidden. Ufonai lo yirou. Only be'achris hayomim. Le'achat chiyas hameisim. Then, when we look at the footprints of providence in the sense of time, we'll be able to understand the meaning of that. This is what Rabbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu. V'royiso es achira yufonai liro. So this is the pshat in the first explanation that is given by the Medrash Rabbah. Lomo par shezus tumo. Lifi shekivon shenifta Yaakov avinu nistimu ineyem vilibom shel Yisrael mitzoras hashibud. We raise the question, what is nistimu ineyem signify, and what does nistimu libom shel Yisrael signify? Nistimu ineyem means when through the eyes a person sees, and when a person sees, he sees clearly. One can see only when he's in the full control of his intellect. Then he can have integrated vision. When a person is not in full control of the intellect, if he is not motivated by his intellect, if there is no shilten haseichel over him, so then he cannot have clear vision. So the shekiven shenifta Yaakov Avinu. So there was an era of Holocaust, of disaster, of suffering, began for the Jews in Mitzrayim. The Shibud began. That's it, a Holocaust. So it's nistimu ineyem. They couldn't understand the meaning and the purpose of all the suffering. Why? The Rebbeinu is true. The Rebbeinu Shlom told Avraham Avinu, "Tigeir yi ezaracho bi'eretz lo Elohim va'avodim v'inu yisom arba meishono." Of course, all that they knew, that was aftoche. But that doesn't mean that they could understand it. Why so much suffering? Why did the Jews deserve that some of their children should be incorporated into the lime? The teeth and the mortar, the teeth, the lime and the mortar of the bricks in the pyramids that they themselves built. But there could be a bandage without so many tragedies. Why was it necessary that this bandage should manifest itself in terms of so much misery and so much tragedy? Why? No one could understand. Yaakov Avinu himself, the Avi, the father, the founder of the Jewish nation, even his eyes were nistem, were dimmed. He couldn't conceive it. the meaning of the suffering of the Shibut Mitzrayim through his deductive and inductive reasoning, as is symbolized by clear vision. It was Nistimu Ineyem V'Libam Shal Yisrael. Neither Yaakov nor his children, as great as they were, could even start interpreting the Holocaust. It was beyond the inquisitive grasp of their intellect. So our Kalchema ben Meshel Kalchema, that understanding of the Holocaust is beyond the inquisitive grasp of our own limited intellect. That's Nistimo Ineyem, but it was also Nistimo Libom Shel Yisrael. Sometimes a certain phenomenon cannot be conceived through the intellect. The intellect is too weak, but the heart can soar above the limitations of the intellect sometimes. Our ancestors, our grandfathers and grandmothers, some of whom were not perhaps the greatest intellect. Every grandfather of every Jew and every grandmother of every Jew was a giant intellectually, you know. But they had the logic of the heart. And with the logic of the heart, our grandfathers and our grandmothers were able to conceive certain phenomena that the greatest philosophers and the scientists today cannot begin to understand. But the phenomenon of Holocaust, of tragedy, of disaster, was so obscure and so mysterious and so transcendental that not only the eyes of the Israelites were dimmed, not only was the understanding of the Shibut Mitzrayim beyond the inquisitive grasp of their minds, but it was even beyond the inquisitive grasp of their hearts. The heart which can soar above the limitations of the intellect. Because this is a mysterious phenomenon, the phenomenon of Holocaust, of suffering, of disaster. That's one explanation. And then there is another explanation. Because Yaakov Avinu himself did not know the real answer to the question of Tzadik V'Ra'u. He did not know. But Yaakov Avinu did know, until this moment, he did know the connection between suffering and Yeshua, and salvation. There is a connection. There is a connection between suffering and salvation. And even though Yaakov Avinu never knew, no one knew, and all day, no Novi knew, I mean, the real reason as to why Tzadik Yisrael. That was the question that was raised by all the Nevi'im, by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. But Yaakov Avinu, together with all the Nevi'im, knew that there was a connection between suffering, between the phenomenon of disaster and the phenomenon of Gula. There is a connection. And he knew exactly how every piece, every portion in the Yisurim of Mitzrayim was conducive to Gula. He knew. That did not explain the real rationale for suffering. Because after all, the Ribbono Shel Olam could have manipulated a redemption of the Israelites from Egypt without all these steps of Yisurim. But that was the Rotzna Beirei, that the Gula has to come through Yisurim. Ki geyo yezaracho be'eretz lo lohem, v'avodum v'inu eisom arbe meyes shono, and then v'gam es agoy asher ha'yaveidu don aneichi v'achechei yeitze b'chodesh galut. That was the Rotzna Beirei. And why was that necessary, that the Gula should culminate through steps of Yisurim? That Yaakov Avinu didn't know. But Yaakov Avinu knew very well, until this moment when the Shechina departed from him, the connection between the Yisuri Mitzrayim and the Gulas Mitzrayim. And that he wanted to reveal to his children. But at the moment when he was ready to reveal to his children the connection, even though that would not have explained the phenomenon of the Holocaust. But at least it would have enlightened the children of Yaakov on the connection and the link between Yisurim and Borek. Even that was taken away from him, was without him. That is the second reason as to why the Sedra of Ayachim is a stum. And then the Midrash Rabbah mentions a third reason, which superficially appears to be at the opposite pole of the first two explanations, namely that Vayechi is istumo, because in the first pasuk in Vayechi, the Torah tells us that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim 17 years, and these 17 years that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim were devoid of trouble, devoid of frustration, devoid of aggravation. They were saturated with peace, security, naches, and tranquility. What could be better? Now, so the question is, how can this explanation go hand in hand with other explanations? The third explanation seems to be at the opposite pole of the first two explanations. But there is a very interesting Rashbam at the beginning of Ayachim. That actually the Sedra of Ayachi should begin a few psukim before. The real logical beginning of this perikop of Ayachi is really posik of Aleph. And the Sedra of Ayika should end with the posik Vayiken Yesif Eskoladmas Mitzrayim Nifare Kimochu Mitzrayim Isodeyu. That should be the end of Sedra Vayigash. And then the new Sedra should begin. So Vayika, that's what he says. So Elo Sheloirotsu Hakiles Lisayim Parshas Vayigash Vayhi Oretz Lipare. The Kehillas, who is the Kehillas? Kehillas, the Klal Yisrael. So the Kehillas, Klal Yisrael, did not want to finish the Sedra on Shabbos with the Posik Vatioras Lepare. It's not such a glorious thing. Vatioras Lepare. So then, Visimu Vayeshev Yisrael. So because of that, they finished with Posik Chov Zayin. Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim. This, on the surface at least, appears to be saturated with so much good tidings, glorious tidings, in Kleinigkeit. Israel dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim, the land of Geshen, and they established roots, and they multiplied, and they became abundant to the highest extent. What does the Rashba mean? I think that this explanation by the Rashbam corresponds with the third explanation that is mentioned by the Midrash Rabbi. The third explanation mentioned by the Midrash Rabbi is that Vayechi is istumo, totally istumo, with no revach between the outgoing Sedre and the incoming Sedre, because in the first Pasuk of Vayechi is mentioned the fact that the 17 years that Yaakov dwelt in Mitzrayim were years devoid of aggravation, devoid of suffering, devoid of trouble, years saturated with naches, tranquility, peace, security. It couldn't even be better. So, but how does that harmonize with the other two explanations? So the herein, the Midrash Rabbah tells us that one of the mysteries in disaster phenomenon or Holocaust phenomenon consists in the fact that there are no demarcation lines between disaster, Shoah, as it's called in Hebrew, and Yeshua. Now, what would every Jew, without any exception, consider the phenomenon of the exodus of Yehudi Russia into the United States. And I don't care whom you'll ask, whether you'll ask a Jewish communist, or a member of the MAPAM, or of MAPAI, or the General Zionist, the Liberal Zionist, or the Mizrahi, or the Agude, or the Torah Karte. I don't care whom you'll ask. I'm sure that everyone will say that this phenomenon, the exodus of the Russian Jews in the United States, is a phenomenon of Yeshua, of salvation. I mean, could anything be better, a bigger Yeshua, than the fact that Russian Jews who were regimented for decades in the Soviet country so are able to immigrate into the United States? Of course, everybody will say, and I be seichom, that it represents a kufe, a phenomenon of glory, of Yeshua. But if you read that in New York, the missionaries formed a school a month ago for Russian children, and that hundreds of Russian boys and Russian Jewish boys and girls were enrolled in the missionary schools. Here yeshivas are struggling to recruit children, and they are conducting all kinds of campaigns in order to recruit one more child in a day school. And unfortunately, in spite of the fact that certain rabbis and certain speakers at conventions of Torah Mesorah, at other conventions, will say that Judaism is flourishing, but the facts of life are not that way. So there is a struggle to recruit children for day schools, to recruit children for yeshivas. And unfortunately, right now it is Peches Veileich. And the missionaries, the Misisim and Madichim, are able in a few weeks to recruit hundreds of children. What is that? A phenomenon of glory, of Yeshua, or of Holocaust? Holocaustus, as in Greek. This is a phenomenon of Holocaust. Total burning, total disintegration, annihilation of Jewish identity. Jews in the multitudes in Soviet Russia, where it was osur to say Shema Yisrael, where a parent who taught Shema Yisrael to a child was sent away to Siberia years ago. Still, the missionaries were not able to seize them, to snatch their souls. And here they come to this blessed country where there is full freedom, where they could start a new life, Al Pi HaTorah. So they are able to recruit hundreds of children. And a few reliable people told me only a week ago that in Chicago, and I suppose that no one of you heard it, because I heard it for the first time a week ago, and I was shocked that in Chicago, for the last 4 months, there is a school of missionaries set up, and they too enrolled already. They already have a few hundred Russian Jewish children. What is this? Is this a phenomenon of glory, of Yeshua? Or is it a phenomenon of Holocaustus? Total destruction, total annihilation of Jewish identity. So how can we start a new parasha, a new perikop of Shibut Mitzrayim, of Holocaust, when we don't even know the demarcation lines between Shoah and Yeshua? There is such a tishtush hagvulim that everybody, I include myself among them, considers the exodus of Russian Jews into the United States as an example par excellence of glory of Yeshua, when unfortunately the missionaries are able to use it in order to convert our children, to snatch away the souls of our children. So of course, the fault is ours. Ours! The fault is the fault of the Jewish communal leaders. But these are the facts of life. So the Rashbam says that actually, our pelagic, so the last sedre, the outgoing sedre, should end with Ati Oras Lefar. But the Kiyeles didn't want to finish one sedre with Ati Oras Lefar. It's not such a glorious fact that all the land belonged to Pare, even though, as a result of the fact that all the land was turned over to Pare, so Egypt was saved, not only Egypt. The Jews were also saved. But it's still not a glorious thing that Vati Oras Lefari. It's not. From the point of view of the eschatology of Yadus, so Vati Oras Lefari is not a blissful phenomenon. Vati Oras Lefari. Even though that Fari was very good to the Jews. But from the point of view of the Ashkot Salem of Yadus, from the point of view of the eschatology of Yadus, so Vati Oras Lefari is not a blissful phenomenon. It's a very sad phenomenon. Vati Oras Lefari. Very sad phenomenon. Of course, the Exodus, the fact that Russian Jews are able to come to the United States is a glorious thing. But the fact that through their immigration to the United States, the missionaries are able to snatch away Jewish souls is a very sad thing. So the Kiyeles didn't want, and it's very hard to delineate the parasha that deals with Yeshua from the parasha that deals with Shoah, with disaster, with Holocaust, Alpilagic. So the Sefer of Vayikra should end with Ati Oras Lefari. But the Kiyeles didn't want, so they finished the outgoing Sedre with the posik of Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim. That is more encouraging a phenomena than Vati Oras Lefari. But it's intertwined. Disaster and glory, suffering and joy, fortunately or unfortunately, are intertwined in human life, especially in the life of the Jew. They are intertwined. There are no demarcation lines that demarcate between a glorious phenomena and a disastrous phenomena. In many a glorious phenomena, you can find portions of disaster. And in many a disastrous phenomena, you can find sparks of hope, germs of Yeshua. We don't know. We can see it. But the two are intertwined. That's what the Midrash Rabbah means with the third explanation. That the reason, and it's not in conflict with the other two explanations, on the contrary, it complements the other two explanations. The reason as to why there is no space, the reason as to why the Sefer of Vayechi is tumo completely, because the first posik in the Sefer of Vayechi is expressive of the fact that the 17 years that Yaakov spent in Mitzrayim were years devoid of suffering, devoid of trouble, devoid of frustration, devoid of aggravation. Wonderful years, pleasant years, years of naches, of tranquility and peace and joy. But still, together with this pleasant and glorious experience, there was another experience that through Yosef and Chas V'Sholem, that anyone could criticize Yosef. Yosef saved all of mankind, but Yosef could not have helped but make Pare and the pagan priests the ruling classes in Egypt. He couldn't have helped. What could Yosef have done? To have declared the pagan priests that they have no privileges, they would have killed Yosef. And he wouldn't have been he wouldn't have been able to help his own brethren. So he had to do it. But it wasn't a phenomenon. At the end of Vayigash, the Torah does not tell us of a phenomenon of glory that had no elements of Shoah, of disaster. They are the germs in the Sefer Vayigash. The Torah tells us of the story of the seeds that were sown in Egypt that ultimately resulted in the bondage, not only in the physical bondage, the spiritual bondage of Aloloi Avizore, Valoloi Avizore. And it is interesting that the Targum Yenisim Nezial, in explaining the last pasuk of Vayigash, and the Rashbam says that that's the reason as to why we end the outgoing Sedre with this pasuk, because this pasuk is expressive of the accomplishments and achievements of the Israelites in Egypt. So, what is the plain meaning? Vayeshev Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Geshen, Vayeachasu Bo, Vayifru, Vayibu Meit. Israel dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim, the land of Geshen. They established roots there, and they multiplied, and they became very abundant there. It has reference, one would say, to the industry that the Israelites developed, the architecture that they developed, the pyramids that they built. I mean, they built up Egypt. Egypt was the greatest ancient civilization. And why was it the greatest ancient civilization? Because of the achievements and the efforts, the toil and the labor of the Israelites who built all the pyramids that even now everyone admires and appreciates. Who did all that? The Israelites. And the pasuk has reference to that. But the question arises, what did the Jews have? What did the Jews have? What are the fruits that the Jews reaped out of all these pyramids and the industry that they built up? What? Who was Nene? It was Nene with a Hosea. The Egyptians were Nene and the Israelites were Hosea. But did the Jews reap any reward, any benefits from all the roots they established? So then the question arises, why does the Torah tell us, Vayeshev Yisroel Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Be'eretz Geshem, Vayeachazuvo, Vayifru, Vayibu Meit? Everything, all the multiplication and the abundance and the industry and the richness and the prosperity and the affluence that took place in among Egyptian Jews, all went away with the burnt ashes, with the Holocaust. So all these things perished, and if anything did not survive the Holocaust, so who reaped the fruits? The Egyptians! So what's the big yiches? So it seems the Targum Yenisim Nezial was baffled by this passage. Why did the Torah tell us that? Nothing remained of that. So Targum Yenisim Nezial says, V'yisiv Yisrael bi'arod Mitzrayim, ובנאלהין בתי מדרושין ופלטין ביערוד גשן ואחסינו בו אחסון הסטקלין וחרומין ומפישו ונזגיע לחדו. So he says, the only thing that remained that was kichol ishaitu kichol asidlove were the bati knesias and bati medroshes. Everything else perished, did not survive. And what was true of the accomplishments and achievements of the Jews in ancient Egypt is certainly true of the accomplishment and the achievements of the Jews in Europe prior to the Second World War. The Jews in Germany, they achieved so much. They built up the industry of Germany. They built up the science and the arts of Germany. And what remained? So there are certain things the Jews in Germany accomplished that fortunately became an integral part of the universal culture of humanity. Let's say, like the theory of relativity by Einstein. That was conceived in Germany, but that, fortunately, became part of the universal culture of mankind. And for the other things that did not remain part of the universal culture of mankind, so who reaped all the fruits? The Nazis. What kind of benefits accrue to us, Jews, from all the toil and labor that the Jews in Germany in the course of centuries invested in Germany? What kind of benefits do we reap from it? And when we talk about Holocaust Center and Holocaust edifice, all kinds of things, even President Carter talks of the Holocaust, to memorialize the Holocaust, so how are they going to salvage all the accomplishments and the achievements of the Jews in the course of centuries, that the Jews did in the course of centuries in Poland, in Lithuania, in Hungary, in Romania, in Bulgaria. How are we going to salvage it? How? The theory of relativity does not have to be salvaged. That's an integral part of the universal culture of mankind. And the other things that are not part of the universal culture of mankind. So, who is reaping those benefits? The Nazis. The Germans. Let's not call them Nazis. Let's call them Germans. All right, fine. We'll be liberals. We'll call them Germans. But are we reaping any benefit? What is there to salvage? The yeshivas, the bot midrashim, the bot knesiyas, Ger, Libavitch, yeshivas, Radin, Slabotke, Brisk, Telz. This is something that has to be salvaged. So the Vayeach HaZubor, Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim, Beretz Geishen, Vayeach HaZubor, Vayifru, Vayirbo Me'eid. So Yenisim Ezeel says, he does not have reference to the industry, to the science and the arts. That did not survive, and that cannot be salvaged. Either it fortunately did survive as an integral part of the universal culture of mankind, or it will remain fruits in which the Germans will all the time have title. All the time. But there is one thing that we can salvage. The spiritual institutions, the spiritual heritage, the toil and the labor that the daily soil in the course of centuries put in order to build up an Am Yisrael, that can be salvaged, and that has to be salvaged, and that's the only thing that to which the expression Vayochazuvo, Vayifru, Vayirbu Mi'eid can apply. So that is the third explanation given by the Medrash Rabbe. The reason as to why Parsha the Sedra of Vayechi is a Parsha Stumo, because the Torah herein wanted to indicate to us that there are no demarcation lines between a phenomenon that is glorious and the phenomenon that is disastrous. Sometimes in a phenomenon that looks to be glorious in the maximum way, but you can detect in them, Rachmona Litzlan, certain germs, certain seeds of assimilation, of shmat. And it is our duty not to delve into the Holocaust, but to utilize all the suffering, all the pain, for the purpose of elevating the Jewish people. And in order to elevate the Jewish people and to salvage all the toil and the labor and the achievements that were realized by daily soil in the course of centuries in Poland, in Hungary, in Lithuania, in Bulgaria. So there is only one way, and that is by perpetuating our heritage and by being Marbit Torah and by being Mikariv. The Russian children and the Russian Jews and the Iranian Jews and the Iranian children, and to bring them to Haskam Fiashim.
Some doesn't mention Hilchas Talmud Torah. He mentions it in Hilchas Shechem. In Hilchas Shechem. Now, Perik Vov, Halacha Vov. First of all, the Rambam says, Perik Vov, Halacha Vov. Kein find me here, ze las is chaim od vosayim od riach liya. Wir liegen nicht lehm bis a Knesset. Wir liegen nicht die Verteirung wie im Uxurim. Kedi shi mit chobe ikon, mi shi mir zel likris na zibo. So der Rambam bechode machte. Ma me shtoch kedi dibo. Die Menschen, die kwie in regard to chaim od vosayim od riach, and the kwie for bis a Knesset. Because it's ein hach. In the same thing, this is a chaim and this is a chaim. Am nicht chaim mishalik amigdolis, am nicht chaim mishalik amigdolis, mishalik amigdolis, mishalik amigdolis, mishalik amigdolis, so the Rambam mentions it together, the same thing. That is in Perikvah Alokhal. Then the Rambam says, in our hey, called Cholador Beer in the Israelish, or Shekono Bobayiz, or Shekono Bobayiz Dire, Nathan in Leonir, the Cholad Vorim, Atzrich, and Lepikun Achim, or Batlosim, Ushara Paroshim, Hashem in Mesamdino, the Chol Kayetz, the Dvorim Leil, or Sheshem in Mesayir. Cholad Vorim, Shetzrich, and Lishmir Asayir, Lekrim, Mikol, Am Sheoir, Vafimo Min Aisei, Chutz, the Talmud Chacham, Shein Talmud Chacham, in Tzrich, in Shmiro, Shatero, Shem Rosh. Not because Tom Cochen, the Mitzvah, who say we're talking without of Mizokin, it has nothing to do with that. Because they do not require this protection. Ako, we tikkun atrochim, vachili, suppose the roads have to be fixed? Well, that's a common necessity and benefit for Tom Cochen most. If it's a question of invasion, so Tom Cochen may be serious. But if it's a question of a certain takolas in the road, certain pitfalls, so that the Tamchochen is no more secure than anybody else. So, Abu Tikun Adrochim Vahelis, Afilo Min HaChachomim. V'im Kolom Yetzim. Also, if it's a question of invasion, so Tamchochachomim may be serious. But if it's a question of a certain takolas in the road, certain pitfalls, so that the Tamchochen is no more secure than anybody else. So, Abu Tikun Adrochim Vahelis, Afilo Min HaChachomim. V'im Kolom Yetzim Umsakim V'atmon, Lo Yetzu Talmud HaChachomim Nimoem. She'in Derech Talmud HaChachomim Leizdalzo Lefnei Amor. In Derech Talmud HaChachomim Leizdalzo Lefnei Amor. Now, so the Rambam mentions this halacha. The Talmud Chachamim HaPoteach from participating in any levy of for Chemo, why? Chemo or what? Let's give more further. Oschara Paroshi, Hashem Rimesam Dino. In other words, you see, what's the cloud? Talmud Chachamim do not require the protection of Chemo or Paroshi. That means, let's say, that means a police force. I mean, not police force, not. I mean, Paroshi doesn't mean that. So that means soldiers, they do not require that. But what's a Tikkun HaDrochim V'Acheves? That they do require. What's the cloud? How will we determine whether a certain hazard is a kind of a hazard that the Talmud Chochem also requires protection against it? Or it's a hazard that the Talmud Chochem does not require? So it seems, I mean, I didn't see it in so many words, but it seems that if we see the danger is not an individual danger, let's say invasion. So the danger does not arise to one individual. It will arise to many individuals. The danger is a collective danger. So if it's a collective danger, so Talmud Chachamim do not require any protection against that. Not that they wouldn't be exposed to the danger, but because if everybody had been like them, so this collective danger wouldn't exist. But if it's Tikkun HaDrochim V'Acheves, so in other words, it's not a collective danger, of course. The whole tzibur is exposed to the danger, but when somebody is injured, he is injured individually. Let's say if there's a pitfall in the street, so the tzibur does not get hurt as an entity, as a tzibur. This member of the tzibur passes by and falls into the pitfall. That member of the tzibur passes by and falls into the pitfall. It's not a collective danger. The individuals are exposed to the danger as individuals, not as members of a collective. So if the hazard is a hazard, as to which the tzibur, the members of the tzibur, are exposed as individuals, not as members of the collective, then Talmud Chachamim require protection just like an Amoret. Why, Talmud Chachamim passes by and he can fall into a pitfall just like an Amoret. Even more so, because he's absorbed in learning. So he doesn't watch as well as Amoret. But if the danger is a danger as to which the members of the tzibur are exposed not as individuals, but as members of a collective, let's say like invasion. So what do we need a chemo? Chemo means maybe a whole regiment of pirates will attack, you see. So for this kind of a hazard, so Talmud Chachamim do not require protection. Oh, but anyway, the Rambam doesn't mention this halacha. The Talmud Chachamim HaPoteach from Tikkun HaChemo Ad Lo Seis Shechar HaParoshim Hashem Mesamdin. He doesn't mention it in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He mentions it in Hilchos Shechem, because it has nothing to do with Talmud Chochem. Talmud Chochem is only a mitzias. It's only mitzias that he doesn't require protection. If he could find Amiores, who are not exposed to the danger, they would also be born. They would also be born. And I mean that the tears can be visualized. Can be visualized. Let's say, I mean, if let's say certain individuals, Amiores, that are privileged characters. I mean, it was in Jewish history, it was like that. You're far from being from the Chachamim. But they had certain privileges. They had immunity against certain Jews, especially rich individuals in the medieval ages, had complete immunity against all kinds of invasions by the Goyim. So that was not for his common benefit. No. He's not involved, yes.
No, the Kohanim would be around like Texas and Akashi.
One second. This is the Rambam here. Now that's the Gemara of Chaim. Now the other Gemara of Rav Nachman Bar Afchisde Rome Karga Rabbonon, that is mentioned not in Hilchas Chaim. That is mentioned in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Perek Vav Hilchas Talmud Torah, Halacha Yud. So it's mentioned in Perek Vav of the Talmud Torah. Now, this Perek Vav of the Talmud Torah deals with the mitzvah of Kibbutz Amid Chacham. Because Perek Vav Alocha Alev of Talmud Torah, the Rambam says, Kol Talmud Chochem, mitzvah Hadrei, Vachot Yishen Rabbi, Shem Tnisei Vatokum, Vatat Mizokum, Zokum Zokum Chacham, and so on and so forth. And then the Rambam discusses all the dinim of Kibbutz Amid Chacham. And then in Perek Vav Alocha Tes, he says, Ove Talmid Chacham in Yitzim Vyatzmon Vasis in Kol HaKol, Vibinyan Yuchbira Shal Midinev Chayitzebeh. Now, so the first thing is certainly based upon Kovit Torah. Then he says, "Vein gave him him b'din achimo, v'tikun ashorim, v'shar ashomrim, v'chayitzben, v'lo yitzur asamelech." I told you that there is one difficulty in the Rambam. V'chayitzben v'lo yitzur asamelech. V'lo yitzur asamelech. V'in michay v'nei som v'tin amas, v'in mashu kotzuf al v'nei yoyir, v'in mashu kotzuf al kolish v'nish, שנאמר גם כי יצאו בגויים עד הקפצים ויוכלו מעט ממס אומר לפיסור וכן אם הוא יוסחי או מתמות חוכן מניחים איזה לינק יתחילו ואם מניחים איך עוד מני השוק לינקי רד שלינקי הוא דקי גמור אינו יחפר and the whole set up of Rabonis in the Shtetla Tmiura was based upon this halachah of the Yachter that אם הוא יוסחי או מתמות חוכן מניחים איזה לינק יתחילו now many Rabonis in the Shtetla in Europe didn't receive any salary from the Rabonis because for Torah you're not supposed to get any salary but they have to live. I mean, if you require the Rabbonim in the Shtetla, I mean, that they should work. So of course they wouldn't be able to devote any time to the city and to learning. So the arrangement was that the Rav of the Shtetl was given a monopoly of a trivial item. Let's say, so some Rabbonim were given a monopoly over candles. Candles, so like my grandfather, Rabbi Kuzina. So he sold, he didn't get a penny, he didn't get any salary. But he sold yeast, not candles. In some cities, so the Rabbonim sold yeast, in some they sold candles. So he sold yeast. So that's the Alochen Leyachter, the Talmud Chochem. In other words, either the Talmud Chochem is to say, who doesn't do anything else, but he devotes himself to Torah and to the city, the community. So the city is mechuye to enable him to make a living by giving him a priority. It's not a monopoly, actually. I mean, it monopoly means that no one is allowed to sell. But this means not that no one is allowed to sell. In other words, that he is given a priority. In other words, that until he is living in the shul for the Talmud Chochem, so no one else should sell this specific item. This specific item. So that's our Lochem. Chayim Moishe Shkiru, Talmud Chochem, Anichem, Eishe Limkia Shkiru. So that is based upon the mitzvah of Nisei Matokum, Odaato Pnizoke. Odaato Pnizoke. So the Rambam mentions the Ptur, immunity for all kinds of tolls, of impulse, under this halacha. In other words, it's the same din as like in Hoyis Vashchiru Talmud Chochem Amichim Eishe Limkia Shkiru. The same kind of halacha. Yes?
Why wouldn't that be enough to be
attacking
from Chochem also?
So I said there is one difficulty, it's not so difficult, but it's complicated. The Rambam, we saw, the Rambam Hoyis Vashchiru There, with the Rambam discussing the deen, the Apollo from participating in the Chaimo. So that has nothing to do with Kolotam Kapam. It's nothing to do with no, that's okay. That's because Rabbeinu is very close. So there he mentions Chaimo. Here, but he doesn't mention there. Other tolls in folks. That he doesn't mention. But here he mentions other tolls. But he mentions Chaimo. So it's Mashmah from the Rambam, as you said, that an immunity from paying for, from participating in the expenses of the Chaimo can be based upon two separate halachas. One halacha is because Rabbonon Ritzriche Niteruse. Rabbonon Ritzriche Niteruse, that's one. Rabbonon Ritzriche Niteruse. And the other halacha is not because Rabbonon Ritzriche Niteruse. Not because Rabbonon Ritzriche Niteruse, but because of Kibbutz Kapam. Now, why do we need both? Well, because we're in a community. As far as the halacha of Rabbonu Yitzchak and Yitzchak, so is that based upon Chochem, upon Chochmeh? That's not based upon Chochmeh. That is the Gemara says, Asap ol mimaseyim shal tzadikim, micheliyom. It's based upon my intending, not upon Chochmeh. That is not based upon Chochmeh. Because the maseyim shal tzadikim is micheliyom. So why do we say that with Chochmeh? Well, the answer is, now, a good analogy would be the certain shittas of Hashem in Miksuves. Now, the Gemara says in Miksuves that Mivatlin Talmud Teiro Mitzvah Sames. Mivatlin Talmud Teiro Mitzvah Sames. So the Gemara says up to what number there has to be? So up to Shishim Ribbon. Kissing. In the Rosso kissing also. As we said, Hochen passes away, so I mean it's a Sivatora. So just in the scene of the Sivatora was Shishim Ribe. So here too, so up to Shishim Ribe. So Yamhuyev to Mimvato Tamatora to Mimulave. He meets the Tamatora. So the Gemara says, Vihu di Kore Vitonim. Vihu Maskulachin. Avimaskulachin, let's be sure. But he not only he learns and studies, but he teaches others. So then, even if there is Shishim Ribei, Milavi, we still have to be Milavi. We still have to be Milavi. So in other words, so when is there a limit up to Shishim Ribei, if he's not Maslachim, if he's only Kore Viton? So then Rashi says, you know Rashi, the man beside the shoulders. Suppose he's not even there. He's not even Kore Viton. So if he's Kore Viton, we Maslachim, then mechuyef to mivatal pametzav Torah after Shishim Ribei. But now, if there is already Shishim Ribei, but suppose he's not even called it on it, so we're not mivatal pametzav Torah. But kinitzov, in other words, tirech kuros, for tirech kuros. So we have our, that if somebody is called it on it, then milavim mitzirech kuros is not enough. But he has to be Shishim Ribei. If he's machlachine, so there is no limit. Now look, so that is by men. How is it with women? When a woman dies, I mean, how many must there be? And up to what limit? So must they be loved? To what limit? So there are some rishonim who say that if a woman dies, even if she is a tzitzit, so there is no chiyuv to be mivatel from Talmud Torah to be loved her if she has enough b'tzirich kuros. And then that's some shame you say, no, if the woman is an ishok sheo, it's a bekeh, so then she has a din, like kore vitone umas melachim. If she's not, so of course, I mean, she doesn't have a din. But if she is, it's a bekeh, so she has a din, like kore vitone umas melachim. Why? Because in other words, the machlekes rishayim there, there's an analogy between that she is Rishenim in Lugabi Alvoy Sameh and here. Now, you see, the Machlekes Rishenim, there is Machlekes Rishenim. The Halochet, where Mechuyet, to be Milav, after Shishim Ribei or even more, is it based upon Kovet Amut Chochem? Or it's based upon Kovet for Yisroel Kosher? Now, the whole Halochet is Yisroel Kosher. Now, if somebody, the Halochet is that Yisroel Kosher, so there is a decree of Yisroel Kosher. al Yisroel Kosher. Even though he's not a Talukha. So the Rishayim will say that by Isha, so there is no Chiyuv of Al-Goyah, only with Seirach Vuroso. So every Isha has the same thing. Like an Ish, that is Loikor Vitone, they hold that the Chiyuv, the special Chiyuv of Al-Goyah, of being Mivat Mitometo and Kovid HaMes is based upon Kovid HaMetchoch. So Isha, she didn't learn, she's not a Talmetchoch, so maybe there is no Chiyuv of Al-Goyah to Shishim Ribe Yomo. The Rishayim will say that an Isha Kshero, so then he had a din like Korah Vitone. They hold that the Chiyuv Al-Goyah is not based upon Korah Vitone. It's based upon Yisroel Kosher, but there are degrees in Yisroel Kosher. There are degrees in Yisroel Kosher. Of course, one can be Yisroel Kosher even if he's not Korah Vitone. In other words, he has an opportunity to learn. So he can be Yisroel Kosher even if he's not Korah Vitone. But if he learns, so then he's a higher degree of Yisroel Kosher. And if he's Maskel Achille, there is still a higher degree of Yisroel Kosher. And if he's a Nish, and yet he was able to be Maskel Achille and didn't, he preferred to make money on the stock market, so then there is a diminution in the Yisroel Kosher. It's not because of Talmud Chochem. So that's why the Rambam mentions Chemo in both halachas, in the Cheshreinim and here in the Talmud Chochem. In the Cheshreinim, the Rambam mentions the halachas of Rabbanu Tzachin to say why, because they don't drink wire protection. Why? Because Maseyim Shokadikim Mechel Yobot. So it's not Talmud Chochem, it's Tzadik. So why does the Rabbanu say, why does the Gemara always say Talmud Chochem? The answer is where Moritz Chosset. If he's not a Talmud Chochem, he's not the real Madrega of Tzadik. In other words, if he can learn more, and he doesn't, then there is a diminution in his Madrega of Tzadik. There is a diminution in his Madrega of Tzadik. And of course, we can very well understand as to why that if the Rosam Noson and Rishayim say that if, let's say, it's not the Rosam Noson, if he's Mivatel from Talmud Torah in order to do big business, more than is necessary to make a living, there is no Avere. There is no Avere in doing big, for Talmud Chochem to do big business. But there is a diminution in his Madrege. In his Madrege, Sadikim. And in order that he should come within the category of Rabbonu Yitzchak Teruse, so he must be in the Madrege of Maseyim Shel Sadikim Echelio. Of course, he has to be a Talmud Chochem, because he is not a Talmud Chochem. So he cannot reach that Madrege. But the reason is not because he is a Talmud Chochem. The reason is because Maseyim Shel Sadikim Echel Yobun. That's why we tzrichen et Rosi. That's why we tzrichen et Rosi. Ma she'inkein Rigabei. So Ma she'inkein Rigabei the halache of Kargel, Rigabei Kargel. The Rambam mentioned Talmud Torah. That's based upon the din of the same talking with Arut Nizokim. The Rambam equated to the halacha in Moshe Schirol with Talmud Chochem, Manichet Eishel Rinkat Chilo. That is based upon Talmud Chochem, not upon Tzadikim. Of course, if he's not a Tzadik, so then as the Rifo says, if he's not a Yir Shamayim, then there is no Chiyum of Nod Arut Nizokim. But if he is a Yir Shamayim and he has Mais and Tevim, so it is based upon the fact that Talmud Chochem, not upon the fact that he's a Tzadik. Ma she'inkin the halacha of Rabbonu Yitzchak Teruse is primarily based upon the fact that they are tzaddikim, that Maseyim Shel Tzaddikim Echel Yobun. But if he's not a Talmud Chochem, then there is a diminution in his Mais and Tevim. You see, so it's two separate halachas. So the Mele, in respect to Karge, there is only one halacha that's based upon the Dart of Nizot. So he mentions it only in the Talmud Chochem. In respect to Chaimo, there are two halachas. First, there is a Din Rabbo Mitzchichan Etobuset. And that's not based upon Talmud Chochem. But it's necessary to be a Talmud Chochem. If he's not a Talmud Chochem, he's not in that Madrega. And then, a Talmud Chochem is also potter from participation in Chemo. Like other Kargel, what difference does it make? What does it not mean? Suppose he's the type of a person who is, let's say, Tzadik and he's absorbed in learning and Stroson and Noson, but he does not have an IQ of 180. So he cannot be such a goyim. So if it has to be based upon Talmud Chochem, so then uh, so So to use the Rav Chaim's terminology, it means Tavakenu'ale. But in order to come within, the Aloche of Maseir Shotadiki Mechil Yabun, so the important thing is not whether I can learn it, but whether he learns. And if he learns, so can I learn also, I mean. But suppose you'll find that he doesn't. So we come in that Madre. That's why the Rambam has to mention it in two separate sections, in Hilchos Shchinim and in Hilchos, Talmud Torah, yes? What is that? Why that's for the common benefit from the Chachon Motzah. No, but you see, but Kage, what does Kage mean? Kage Amune only certain taxes. And the levy that is imposed upon the people to build the Chaimo, isn't that a tax? So it's a tax like any other tax. No, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. No. Because you see, if it is a tax, that is the difference. Now, as I mentioned before, there are two kinds of hazards. There is a hazard as to which every member of the tzibur is exposed as an individual, not as a member of the collective. And there is a hazard as to which one a member of the tzibur is exposed as a member of the collective. So the same thing is true of like the common benefit. Now it's a carrier pass here, so it's for the common benefit. So everyone derives a benefit from it. But everyone derives a benefit individually. It's not really, of course it's for the common benefit of all, but it's not a collective benefit. Because I say, if there are wells in the city, so every individual can have water. But when one individual draws water from the well, he derives that benefit as an individual, not as a member of the community, you see. Masha'in came with Gabi Chemo, so every individual derives a benefit. But how does he derive a benefit? The Chemo keeps away the invaders. So the individual derives a benefit not as an individual. He derives a benefit as a member of the community. You see, that's why. So when do we say? You see, so Kalyapatye is not poter, even though there is a din that Chachomim are poter from all taxes. So the tax that is imposed upon the inhabitants of the city because of Kalyapatye is all my tax. Well, the answer is it all depends. What kind of a common benefit it is? If it is a kind of benefit where each one, if it accrues to each inhabitant as an individual, not as a member of the community, so then Tom Drachon and Atwat, in spite of a doubt it is up. But if each individual in the community gets a benefit, not as an individual, but as a member of the community, like the benefits that accrue to all the members of the community from the Chemo. So how does each individual benefit from the Chemo? Because the Chemo keeps away the invader. So it's not as an individual that each one benefits, but as a member of the community. If it is this kind of a common benefit, then there is a Ketubah on the Chacham. Why? I mean, what's the logic? Because how does exemption come within the halacha of a Da'at of Nizok? I mean, what is it? A Da'at of Nizok implies that a Talmud Chochem should be a privileged character, should be put up from burdens, from responsibilities, and the contrary, a Talmud Chochem has more burdens than a layman. Well, the answer is, if the benefit is a benefit for each member of the community, every member of the community, so the mitzvah of the Da'at of Nizok implies that the tzibur has to make the Talmud Chachamim outstanding, has to distinguish them. But if the benefit that accrues to every member of the community does not accrue to every member of the community as a member of the community, it accrues to every member of the community as an individual, like Kaya Pagye. So the tzibur is not mechuyev to distinguish them from the rest.
Yeah.
My thing, and was he able to learn or not?
Well, if he was able to learn. Let's say woman, then we don't have that. Okay, a woman is unable to learn.
Yeah.
You say that he would be
fucking
from the
community
to the wall.
That's right.
Because
not
the law
that... No, no, no. As far as the aloche of Rabbi Yitzchak and so if you have a woman and almone, like this, it's not almone. That almone, she never got married, so there's a diminution in her tickets. I mean, a woman who remains unmarried. So there's certainly a diminution in her tickets. But, I mean, and if she has a husband, so, I mean, Mashikon, so if she's going to buy one, I mean, so there is no problem with her. So you can raise the question in regard to a woman of Konyas, who is an almoni? And if she is, let's say, Konyas, very high madregi, I mean, who fulfills the Rambam's program in the end of Yom Hashmita Yehu, Porak Meyal Tzavore Yehu Cheshbein Yitzharabi, there were such women. So no levy for the Bin Achimo could be imposed upon such women.
Okay, ordinarily, when we say some of the questions from Sluch saying it was always because he doesn't get the Hanoah,
yeah.
Right? But here, it's not this person doesn't get Hanoah, it's that it wasn't the wall that the invaders, that they are coming. But actually, after they do come, I mean, it's true he gets Hanoah from the wall.
Yeah, but if everybody had been like that, so there wouldn't be an invasion.
It's not calling a Hanoah, it's something different than
it doesn't matter, so that's the halacha. Because now, when can the common benefit and the common necessity be in the high of everyone, if everyone, you see, is really responsible for this danger that has to be avoided, you see. But the Talmud Chachamim, I mean, they're not responsible towards this danger. They didn't contribute towards this hazard. It's the other people who contributed towards this hazard.
What?
No, that Hamdan is that's a schus that Shechem have one against the other.
Why is anybody
high? That is schus, that is schus Shechem.
Because
he has another. Not because he has another. No. Because if it's for the common benefit of all, so there is a schus Shechem to force one another. Alright, now, so that's why the Rambam mentions it in two separate halachas, in two separate sections. And Chemo he mentions in both. Because immunity from participation in the expenses of Chemo can be based upon Yivadi. But there is an Akimine. There is an Akimine. Now, the Ramban, the Chidush Ramban, no one has a Ramban here. Oh, it's not necessary. The Chidush Ramban, he is a different cheetah than the Ramban. He says that this whole Aloche, the Talmud Chachomim, are poter. From all these tolls and imposts, taxes, they only apply to a collective tax that the Malchus imposed upon the community. Upon the community. Let's say the Malchus said to a certain community, a certain town, now this community of Jews must pay every year a tax of $10,000. They didn't impose it upon the individuals. And the Malchus doesn't care whether in the town has 1,000 inhabitants, or 100, or 10, or 5. It imposes a certain tribute upon the town, upon the Jewish town. So then, there is aloche, in other words, so who is mechuyev? Who is mechuyev to do it? The tzibur. So then, there is aloche that the Rosam and Noson, they should be exempt from it. But if the Malchus says, every individual, every inhabitant must pay such and such a tax, whether it's a head tax or it's a lune tax imposed upon the crop. Let's say, if the Malchus said everyone that has this kind of a crop, so must pay such and such a tax, whatever tax it is, if it's not a collective tax upon the town, but individual tax, so the Chachomim are mechuyev to pay just as much as the Amorites. No difference. No difference. And he mentions it in the name of the Rav. He mentions it in the name of the Rav. Now, and furthermore, he says, even if the Malchus imposed the collective tax, but the Malchus said as follows, the Malchus said to the Jews, the Jewish town, they said, now, you have so many Jews in your town, you have about 10,000 Jews in the town, so you must pay every year $100,000. You have 10,000 Jews. In other words, if the Malchus itself determined the collective tax on the basis of the number of inhabitants, even though the Malchus imposed the collective tax, so the Ramban says, in that case, the Talmud Chachomim are not in you. The Ramban says. So when Abba Chachomim immune from paying taxes, that is only if the Malchus did not even consider the number. The Malchus just imposed upon Jewish towns, doesn't care, indiscriminately, upon every Jewish town, a certain tribute. A certain tribute. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? Bishleime, if the Ramban had just said there is a difference between the collective text and individual text, and if the Ramban should have been that wherever the text is collected, even though if the Malchus itself considered the number of inhabitants in determining the text, that then, so Chachomim Apotea, so then we could understand. In other words, if it's a collective text, so the obligation is incumbent upon the collective, the Jewish collective, so Mele, they are mechuyev to show respect to the Talmud Chachomim and to exempt it. But if the obligation is imposed upon each individual Jew, so he's not mechuyev to pay, in other words, that would mean that he has to pay the tax of the Talmud Chachomim. But other Pizokim does not imply that the Damhoret should be mechuyev to pay the taxes of the Talmud Chachomim. So then we could understand. But the Ramban says that even if the text is collected, as long as the Malchus itself in determining the text considered the number of inhabitants, in other words, if the Malchus imposes a higher text upon those Jewish towns that have more inhabitants, and the smaller text upon those Jewish towns that have a lesser number of Jews. So in such a case, they're not correct. If the Malchus itself considers the number of inhabitants. So when Atam the Chachomim Poteach, only when the Malchus in determining the text that it imposes upon the various Jewish towns, the Chachomim list, does not take the number of Jews in each town into consideration. Now, what difference does that make? I mean, what Cheshbenis were involved in the mind of the Malchus? So the Ramban even said, because he said, if the Malchus says that such and such a text is imposed upon the town because it has so many inhabitants, in contrast to another city which does not have to pay such a high tax because it has less inhabitants, so then he says there is no reason as to why Talmud Chachomim should be put. Why should they not carry the burden just as much as Amor? But if the Malchus indiscriminately imposes upon the various towns, so then it's very mistava, says the Ramban, that if all the inhabitants in the city had been like the Talmud Chachomim, the Malchus wouldn't have done it. Now what does it mean, the Malchus wouldn't have done it? It's not that the Malchus wouldn't have done it. It means not that the Malchus wouldn't have desired to do it. But then, Ramban means that then the Hashgoche would not have allowed the Malchus to do such a thing. In other words, if a Malchus bases the same kind of text upon all Jewish towns, regardless of the number, is it based upon any justice or upon any common sense? This is not based upon any concept of justice. To put the same kind of tribute upon a town that has 1,000 Jews as upon a town that has 10,000. There is not a vestige of justice in such a determination of the text. So in other words, this is a tribute, in other words, because this is a discriminatory text. In other words, so that means that actually the collection of the text of such a text by the Malchus from the Jewish communities in itself is a shibud. It involves the persecution of the Jews by the Goyim. Why is there persecution? Why is there discrimination? Why is there discrimination against Jews? Because not all Jews are like the Rabbanon. If all Jews had been like the Rabbanon, there wouldn't be such discrimination, such persecution. So Mimele, it's for the same reason that the Rabbanon do not have to participate in the building of a chaimo, because if all Jews had been like the Rabbanon, there wouldn't be any need for a chaimo. So if a text like that, a discriminatory text, is made upon the Jewish communities, so if all Jews had been like the Rabbanon, there wouldn't be such a text. So maybe that one. That's Ramban.
According to Ramban, what would be the difference if there's a discriminatory text, but it's based on a Bavol? In other words, if the Malchus says, all non-Jews in my community pay 10, and all Jews in my community pay 20. then would Rabbanan be chayav or not? Because there also, if everybody were like Rabbanan, then...
It seems to me that according to the logic of the Ramban, even though it's individual text, so they should be punished.
Okay.
Because then the text itself is a shibud, is shibud by the umes in the Israel.
Okay, then one other little thing. Is there any difficulty with the Gemara here where they mean the Lova Halof, and the Gemara claims that one of those is a Golgotha text, and yet we say that Rabbanan are clustered.
I'll tell you, I mean, I think that the Ramban mentions the way. Can someone bring in a Chiddush Ramban and go back? I think the Ramban mentions the individual texts here. The Rambam says beferish that whether it's an individual text or a collective text, the Rosh Hashanah Rambam
tells.
Okay,
so then why should the
well, because that comes within the mitzvah of a da'at of nezokin. Da'at of nezokin, just as it comes within the mitzvah of da'at nezokin, that if it comes chochem, that is also in nosei. And he cannot occupy and devote himself to the tzibur and to Torah unless he's given a monopoly over a certain item, so then the tzibur has to give him a monopoly over that item to enable him to make a living. So once again, that is based upon the deal of a doubt of his okay. So it also comes within the mitzvah of a doubt of his okay that Talmud Chachomim should be exempt from all those burdens of common benefits where each member of the community derives a benefit as a member of the collective. Not like Kali Pati, where each member of the community derives a benefit not as a member of the community, but as an individual.
So the Ramban, there's different chats about that, and talking that the Bihumim are different?
Well, according to Ramban, it does not come within the scope of without of Mizokin.
So
we should be exempt from that. To be given a monopoly comes within the doubt of Nizokim, but this does not come. Now, the Rambam, in so many words, is Chelik and Rambam. He says, V'imichayvin eitzei, v'itein ha'amas, bein mas shehu kotzuf al bnei oyir, bein mas shehu kotzuf al kol ish v'ish. What does mas al kol bnei oyir mean, and what does mas kotzuf al kol ish v'ish mean? So, mas kotzuf al bnei oyir, that's a collective text. And Kotzuf al kol ish v'ish, that's an individual text. So, in other words, why did the Rambam have to point it out? Because the Rambam mentions that the Rachshite is like that. So, of course, the Rambam usually follows the Rachshite, but sometimes he's chilek on the Rach. He's chilek on the Rach. So that's why the Rambam had to mention it. In other words, to laugh, who cares about the Shita Sarach?
So, individual text also what the Rambam?
Yeah, all texts. So I said, there is a difference. If it is, well, every common benefit involves a text. But if the text is for a common benefit that each individual gets as an individual, that's Kalya Patye, so Dan Kochem is not for that. But if it is a text for the common benefit that each individual gets not as an individual, but as a member of the collective, so then it comes Kochem is for. מקבס מצים, אמנון איסורי תווה, סובעימו שונה בשונה, וכן מכאן, ובעימו ואיסו שלו הביאו ממנו איסורי שאומר לך מתחזבי מסנונה, ואיסו סנונה, ולא יתגיבו להם פרושים שאומרו שוט לזעקים, ונראה שאין תלמיד חכומים פטורים, מאסרי תווסום ולא מכסף גלגולוסום, אלא כשהמלך מתיר על בני אוהיה, ליתן כך וכך במאסר תווסום, והם נפסיקו ביניהם, ולפי שיחלו עם תלמיד חכומים לאימא, כשהמלך מתיר על בני אוהיה, ליתן כך וכך במאסר תווסום, So even though it's mentioned, it text on the clock, the text on the anus, this and that, but it only means the galactic text. Say, Kach, behem yusik abeneyeh, mevishir chilis al nechafomim leimah, lo yitil amelech aleinu kulum ele bishulchem. If everyone had been like us, the Talmud can say, the melech would impose his text. Avol imoma amelech, lite kol echot ve'echot kesef gulgols, gulgolti, ehe text. Ein am lor etzpirim bishvil Talmud Chachomim. El im rotza amelech limchi lehem yimchi. If he wants to forgo and respect the Talmud Chachomim, fine. Ve'lo yoim. El di malka li torach. El oma. Kach v'kach anoshim yesh kan. Kach v'kach chayev kol echot lehem. נמתוחס מיוחד מהם ומרבים על דיקולם כדונם. So בואים המיורץ וגייבים מטל מלך החומר. In other words, if the מלך said, כך וכך inhabitants, they're ready, so there should be a total text, privacy. In other words, it took into consideration the number of inhabitants in determining the text. So then the טל מלך החומר will not put that. And suppose the המיורץ, they paid the total text. Well, the המיורץ paid because they had money, I mean the Talmud Chachomim did not have money. So then the Talmud Chachomim are entitled to be reimbursed by the Talmud Chachomim. Even though the Melech imposed the collective tax on the Jewish town. But he said, yes, 1,000 inhabitants, you have to give me a tax of $10,000. So he imposed the collective, but he based it upon the number of Jewish inhabitants. And the Amoretz paid out the tax. So then the Amoretz can go to the Talmud Chachomim and they can say, you reimburse us because the Melech paid the tax, I mean imposed the tax on account of the fact that there are so many individuals and you are included in that population. So remember, you have to reimburse. So why? So when are the potter, if the Melech doesn't even mention that he bases it upon the population, he just says this town. So then Talmud Chachomim can say, if everyone had been like us, there wouldn't be anything.
Oh.
What is that?
So the
other shame, I don't remember who. And that's probably the Ramban Shita also. Now here the Gemara mentions the Pasuk of Atachashto, I mean the Yovesh, and there it was not a discriminatory text. But so what is the raya? So there's some rishonim, I don't remember who said it, that actually they weren't potter. But why were they potter? Because the Melech himself part of them. So that's why the Ramban mentions Elim Rotza HaMelech Limche Lehem Yimche. Why do they have to mention Elim Rotza HaMelech Limche Lehem Yimche? Because the Ramban apparently explains it like those Rishonim, that here the Melech part of them explicitly. So actually there is no real Raya from the Pasuk in Ezra. The Raya is from Kol Deshev Yiridah. And from the Pasuk in Eisha, Gam Ki Yitzim Bagoi Mata Kapsen V'Yachilu Me'at Mimasu Melech Yisori. And from the other Pasuk, from the Pasuk in Ezra, there is also Yizechel Yidavor. Why is there Yizechel Yidavor? Because we see that Ayovesh patterned the Talmud Chachomim from the Texas. And what Ayovesh did, I mean, was in accordance with the wishes of Ezra HaSefer. So maybe we see that it's the proper thing to distinguish Talmud Chachomim in the payment of taxes. So even though they wouldn't have been potter if he didn't part of them, but we see that it's a proper thing to distinguish Talmud Chachomim in the payment of taxes. So that's why the Gemara mentions the Pasuk of Ksuvim. But they were only potter because Rotza HaMelech Limchila. Yes.
Couldn't say that actually he was just more than
Yeah, I think that someone says that one of them, So they have put them to Adin, even if the Melech didn't pass them. There's one which says that. There is one who says that. I don't remember where actually. In other words, that Mindo and Mindo, so that was a collective text. A collective text. And that was by way of tribute, really. So Minadin they were put. That's why, yeah. Mindo, but Gulgalte, that they were put because he was Mechle. I think that there is one Rishon who says that, I think. I don't remember where I saw it, but it's better saw on the Mir. I probably saw it in the Mir. In Rambam, there is one Rishon who says that Mindo, they were put there Misradim and Golgalte, so he only part of them. He was made of them. Rebbe posach itzores b'sheni batzeres, in the years of Hamed, oma yichmisu bali mikro, bali mishne, bali gemore, bali aloche, bali agode. Aval ami oret, al yichmisu. But am oret should not be nichmas. Doch hakrabhinis in ben Amrom, vi nichmas. Oma le rebbe itan itzeni, oma le bni koriso, oma le lab, shen niso, oma le lab, im kein bama panitach. So how can I support? Oma le panitzeni, ki kele vichere. Why did he mention Kelevere? Why does he say? In other words, so Rashi says, "Shechot haKodesh Baruch Haleim, shenema yedei atzadik din dalim, shakelev mizenei sof mordi, v'fichok sheyach elotei b'meyo shleishis yomim."